December deals just dropped at Lowe's. Get up to 30% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional $75 off every $1,000 you spend on select kitchen major appliances from Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, and Maytag. Also, save $20 on a Craftsman VersaStack rolling tool chest. Now just $69.98. Lowe's knows deals. Valid 12/12 through 12/18. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items. While supplies last.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
Hey, thank you for joining us once again. Every Wednesday, a brand new episode. You can sit down with a cup of coffee and get a lesson in songwriting. And I appreciate you being a part of it and making our podcast now well over 1,250,000 streams. Something crazy like that.
Beauty. Wow.
Tremendous.
Cannot believe it.
Watch this.
Watch this. Pull my beer. Hey, we've got two amazing guests today. Very honored to have them. We have author, songwriter, blogger, Jill Nicole. That's such a beautiful name.
Thank my daddy.
who write, her novel is under Nick Ford.
Yep.
Your pseudonym. Or just N Ford. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. So let's start with... Oh, then we'll also introduce our other guest, who you know...
We probably should.
We should. He's won 7 Dove Awards, 5 Grammy nominations as an artist. He is Gary Chapman. Gary also used to watch him on TNN as host of Primetime Country. And he also, I loved your show, Sam Place.
Oh, thank
Sam's
you.
Sam's Place.
That's the best job I ever lost.
Well, you know what? I used to work at the Ryman, too, and I know you did the show at the Ryman.
Yeah.
And that was the best job I ever lost.
Oh, that was. It's an amazing room. It's my favorite place to sing to this moment.
Isn't that amazing?
I do have a close second that may overtake. They actually call it the Sister Ryman. I call it the Baby Ryman.
Ooh,
it's a place called Mule House down in Columbia.
Oh, I've heard of it, but
I've
not been there.
It's shocking.
Is it?
Oh, my gosh, that place is amazing.
Wow.
It's a lot smaller, and maybe that accounts for kind of the... There's an intimacy level that despite the fact that you can feel that way at the Ryman easily.
Yeah.
Oh, this place is that on stun. It's just...
Is it really? Oh, they have the stained glass and everything?
Yep.
Do they? Pews and...
It's shocking. I'm telling you, you go... Huh. Wow. Has this always been here?
Yeah. And the sound, incredible.
It's beautiful.
Just like the Ryman?
Yeah.
Wow. I love that place.
Come on down.
You know, got to do a couple of shows. I used to do shows for just the people that worked at Ryman. So we got to use the sound system and stand there on that in that stage. And I was just thinking about this last night, thanking God for that opportunity, even though there was just a few hundred people there.
Right.
But to look on that stage up to those stained glass windows and to think of all the people that stood on that stage, it's just unbelievable.
It is an amazing place.
Yeah.
Did you ever go in the attic?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Even more creepy underneath the stage.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I know.
Man.
I know. Get a little Phantom of the Opera vibe.
Opry. Oh. That's Opry.
Phantom of the Opry.
Wrong place.
Exactly. You know, we used to do these Halloween tours, and we take them underneath.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a guy that had the Phantom of the Opry mask on with a cowboy hat. I go, Phantom of the Opry. I love it. I love that costume. So, I love that place. It really is magical. Well, first, let's see. How did you guys hook up? Tell me about your situation.
That is fun to tell.
Uh-huh. Go for it. I was there. You don't have to tell me.
I knew.
I was obligated, obligated in a loving way by my nieces who begged me to be in the Christmas choir at church.
Okay.
I was new to the area. Little did I know that when you say yes to Christmas choir in Nashville, that's like... committing to 20 rehearsals.
It's amazing.
And 17 performances. And a 30-page style guide.
That's right.
I had no idea the commitment I was making.
Did you sign up yet this year?
No. No, because now I'm
educated. Are you not doing it?
No, I'm educated now. When
we did it. We're in. Cassie, my wife, asked me yesterday, so Jill signed up, right? And I said, I don't know.
I may reconsider only if you'll be there.
No, I'm there. I'm already signed up. I assumed you would. I thought I knew you.
I thought we had an understanding.
I thought we understood each other on this.
So, listen, I was in the terrible mood when my nieces asked me to do this, and I was like, fine, babies, whatever, whatever. I had no idea what I was committing to, and I was new to the area and writing my second book, and then I realized that I did not have the time to execute what I'd agreed to do. So I went to the rehearsals. I made no friends on purpose. And then here was the first performance. And I took my laptop and sat in the corner with the very singular objective to make no friends and speak to no one.
Working on your book.
And work on my novel. Book. Yeah.
I get it.
And here's this woman sitting there who is gorgeous, by the way. She's stunning and hard to miss because she's just beautiful.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, I believe you. Yep. Because it happened to me. Yep. And, you know. So I'm just looking at her because I'm like, this woman is stunning. Mm. And we start chatting. And we became best friends, and I still call her my Nashville bestie. And she said, oh my gosh, my husband's going to love you. Let me go get him. And she brings over this guy, and we just got along, the three of us. Yeah, it was just we were instant friends, and I don't have any social media. I don't watch TV. I don't know who anyone is. And my brother came in. My brother came in to drop off my nieces, and he ended up walking me outside, and he's like, says, you know who that is, right? And I was like, yeah, it's Gary. And he was like, uh-huh. Okay, can you hold on a minute? I'm going to pull up Wikipedia. And then I got an education on who Gary was.
There you go. You can't believe all that. I'm telling you, you cannot believe all that.
Only half of it's true.
That's true.
That's right. What did you say before we went on tape?
You can find out anything you want to find out about me on the internet. You can. Uh-huh. Half of it's true, and honest to goodness, at this point in my life, I don't care which half you believe. I don't.
That's it.
I do not.
What a healthy attitude.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your books, Jill, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Nick, Jill.
On vacation recently, I was reading your book, picking it up. And the first, now, it's going to be a trilogy, right?
Yes.
The third one about ready to come out?
The third one is halfway finished.
Halfway finished.
I hit the halfway mark yesterday.
Tell me the whole concept, because from what I heard, it started out you were going to write a children's book?
I was.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was at what they call lovingly
sorry.
That's rock funny. Bottom.
I wish I had a cough button. Sorry.
Yeah. No
worries. I was at rock bottom. I had really what I call the explosion of my life, where I lost a primary relationship, income, job, everything. The only family that I had moved away. And I just remember sitting on the balcony and saying to the Lord, what now, man? I got nothing. And I mean, it was so bleak that my mom literally said to me, what you have left is God and your dog.
Wow.
Thanks, Mom. That's so encouraging. But it was true. And thankfully, I was graced with two parents who were not afraid to hurt my feelings, and they're still not. But you get a healthy dose of truth and
keeps the ego in check, I imagine.
Oh, boy, does it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
But I was sitting there on the balcony and just asked him that. And I had recently read, I think it was Benjamin Franklin, who said, when one is thrust upon one's own resources, one is thrust upon the lap of fortune. Ooh. And that was just fresh in my brain. And as I was sitting there praying over it, it was very clear to me, the Lord said, you know, the only thing you've always wanted to write, he's always kind of dropped that into my head. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment of the only thing that you need to write is your brain and a computer.
Or a pencil,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was it. So that was the day that I decided I'm not going to flirt with this anymore. It's time to actually do something. And I'd flirted with this idea of a children's series and tried it a few times, failures to launch, shopped it out to a few people. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a whole lot of encouragement, but that day I started writing with the intention of writing that children's story, and I wrote what came out as the first Refuge novel, which is the first of the trilogy. And the outline for the whole trilogy was really clear from start to finish. I just I say I did not write it. I really don't
That's
believe
pretty
that
wild,
I wrote it.
You know, because it's so involved.
It is very involved.
And you had it all from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I started writing. I remember writing that day on the balcony and literally typing and thinking, like, I have no idea where this is coming from. Yeah. Because the intention was to write a children's series. And here I start writing, like, this is, like, really more adult fiction. And then and I thought, who's this? And who's this character? Like, how did this even happen?
And yet they define it as political fiction, right? Isn't that crazy?
Gary, I'm not sure that I can say this in his presence because he warned me never to say it again. But the publisher...
Say it. I was wrong. Say it.
The publisher classifies it as political fantasy.
Fantasy, that's what it is. Political fantasy.
We didn't even know that was a thing. Neither one of us knew that was a thing until the publisher
told me. I didn't know it was a thing. Yeah.
No, it's definitely a thing. If you think you can get into politics and remain... clean. Mm. That's a political fantasy.
That's why I stay away from
thing.
It.
It's a thing.
Especially on this show.
Oh,
can you give
goodness.
Us a little synopsis of what it's all about? It's the Refuge series, right?
The Refuge.
Refuge series.
The Refuge trilogy.
Trilogy.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. The first book is Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
You introduce a lot of characters in it.
I do.
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I wanted to write a story that... where the reader could be equally invested in a large cast of yeah. main characters. So at the end of the day, there are 10 to 12 main characters. Each chapter transitions to somebody else's voice. So you get a universal narration.
Interesting.
The idea of that being that there's an equity in the storytelling. So hopefully the reader is not biased to one character. Mm-hmm. And clearly their preferences, right?
Yeah.
And my favorite question to ask somebody after they read it is, who did you connect with the most?
Wow.
And really delve into that.
But, are you far enough down that road that when they answer you go, oh, I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to say that, but I'm constantly surprised.
Yeah.
Where I will kind of start to predict if I know someone well and think, oh, I wonder who they're going to say. And then I'm totally shocked right by the answer.
Are you?
Yeah, it's been really interesting.
So you've got your own kind of homegrown Enneagram thing going.
I do, sort of.
Yeah.
Are you a Matthew? Are
right.
you a Colette? Are you Jonathan?
Mm.
Are you Audie?
Yeah.
Eight.
Are you?
We all know.
I know. When you say it, they know.
I was going to ask you if you're in there. Probably bits of you everywhere.
Yeah, no? They yeah. say when you're an author... part of you, part of your soul is in every character you write.
Right.
And I think that's true. There are expressions of me through each one, because how can you really write without writing a part of yourself in? I don't know.
Sure.
It would feel disconnected, I think.
Right.
Which is a little frightening when you consider, like, the villain in the story. It yeah. was for me.
It's yeah. easy for it me to believe, knowing you a little bit.
No, is it your dark side of it?
Like, can yeah. I get this dark?
I love the process that I read about, that you sat down, mm-hmm. you had the idea, and the first thing you did was kind of outline it. Mm-hmm. And then you did a chapter synopsis,
mm-hmm.
and it just, like, there were steps, very logical steps to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you said you sat down and it just seemed to write itself. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people that write songs that way. Do you?
That is yeah. It has been really interesting transitioning from novel writing to songwriting.
I can't imagine.
Tell a story with 70,000 words, now yep. tell one with 30.
Yes.
It is a different art.
Yeah,
I bet. And one that has been tricky. But to tell you the truth, when Gary is the singular human who said, there's a place for you here.
Wow.
And I will never have enough words to say thank you for that.
It was, honestly, it was selfish. It was on my part.
Yeah.
What made that start happening was it the worship night after the fast thing? Was that it? It was something.
Yeah, it was.
So our church does a church-wide fast the month of January.
Oh.
21 great. Days. Was it 21 days?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
21 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do it on whatever level you want. My wife and I have figured ours out. If you have to chew it, we don't do it. So it's... So
you'll just juices.
Juices and stuff, yeah.
I did that one time.
Yeah.
For
it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually look forward to it in some sort of twisted way.
And after a few days, it gets easier, doesn't it?
It does get much
yeah,
easier.
Yeah.
And about day 9, you can see through walls. That's cool. No.
I didn't have that experience.
No, at the end of it, there's this church-wide celebration, if you will, of worship thing, you know, this has done good things, and you praise God for that. So we all get together, and she walked up to me and handed me, I guess, it was the first time I had read the beginning page, like the foreword or the preface, whatever the, what was the thing at the front of the book? What do you call it?
The dedication.
Let's call it the dedication. Mm-hmm. And I read the first paragraph, and I said, have you ever written songs? And she said, no. I said, well, we need to fix that. Mm. Just her command of the language and her sensitivity to the flow of those words was just, it was so obvious to me. I was like, good Lord, this is a gold mine. And it has proven to be exactly that. We've never failed.
Never, huh?
To walk away with a good song. And honestly, in very short order. Very short order. It's the easiest gig ever. What had happened to me every 2 or 3 years for the last 48 years that I've been in this town claiming to be a songwriter, when in fact God writes them, I just get in the way occasionally. Mm. Every now and then, though, it is so obvious that it's not me, that it happens so quickly. I've used this description for years because it's the best one that I can come up with. It's like stepping off a curb and a song-shaped bus just mows you down. You did not see it, but it's done. You're done, and it's as quick as you can write it down. You're just furiously with a pen. If it's paper driven, if I pick up a guitar, you just sing it. Mm-hmm. She walks in to every. Do you mean to?
No.
Okay. She walks in to every writing session with minimum 4, 5, 6. Lord knows she's got. She has so much that just gets downloaded. And I will look at them and read through them, and one of them will just go, boop, it's me.
Oh, boy.
And I will pick up a guitar and generally play it top to bottom.
That is the magic when it's working.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
It's unbelievable. Well, it's so cool.
Yeah. Well, it's like your experience writing the novel. I mean, you said it just came out, and you don't know where it came from, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah,
it's God's not so subtle way of reminding you that you're not all that important.
Mm. Yeah.
It is, without question.
Yeah. That's interesting.
No, every great creative work comes from Him. Everything else is an imitation.
I hear you.
It is it has become my absolute objective to kind of find. I thought Tim Keller coined it. He didn't. It was way before him. Hundreds of years before him, but I would. It's the
plagiarist.
Term,
you can't trust those guys.
I know, right?
Big preachers.
Jeez. You know how it goes. Yeah. It's the term blessed self-forgetfulness.
Mm. Wow.
And the freedom that it is to completely forget yourself. And I think this is where socials, let me not get on my soapbox, but this is, I think,
please
where
do.
Socials is a little damaging, because it's such a magnifying glass of self.
Mm-hmm.
What I post, I'm thinking about me. What I consume, I'm comparing and thinking about me. How people respond, I'm thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I call it the nasty mag, that nasty magnifying glass that's just me, me. And we get so caught up in mental, emotional, spiritual, social. It's just destroying. And the term blessed self-forgetfulness is that beauty and freedom of completely forgetting yourself.
See, that's why I get on social media with great regularity and embarrass myself.
Mm-hmm.
There is a beauty, you'll appreciate this, there's an incredible beauty in getting old enough. It's a very healthy, quite frankly, it's a very godly thing. You stop caring what people think.
That's so true.
It's
and
why
you and I
old
are about
guys,
the same age.
It's
that,
why,
as a matter of fact, I will tell you.
It's why old guys wear black socks at the beach. It is.
Yeah.
Hopefully with a metal detector. Geez.
That's hilarious.
You know? Don't care. Don't care. I do not care what you think of me. It's beautiful. It's so free.
It's free. Yes.
Once you drink that cup, you will never put it down. It's awesome. It is awesome.
I love that philosophy.
Incredible.
How old are you?
I am 3 days younger than you, my man.
No kidding.
Yes.
Child.
August 22nd.
You're a child.
I'm a child. I've got to hear a song now. Can you play one of the songs you wrote? Maybe tell us how it came about.
Yeah. Do you want to play that one, or do you want to play Sound of Falling Rain?
I don't care.
Play that one.
I don't care. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
So you're in charge.
Well, it's up, so let's do it.
Let's do that one.
It's up. It's up. Oh, if I can, this is one that came out of sitting on a hill. I call it my happy hill. It's where I do most of my writing. And I was reflecting on that place in the gospel right before Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples, knowing that he's going to be crucified. And he gets down on the floor and he washes their feet.
Yeah.
And they're questioning him, you know, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What
you is it? Washing is
it,
your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it Peter who says, I can't let you do this. Yeah. And he says, yes, you can. Because this is the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the whole point. And so this lyric came out of that. And this is one of those beautiful things that happened when Gary saw this. And I think this is one that was done in like under 5 minutes.
We played it straight down.
And it was
what
done.
You're about to hear, we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did I come to be here? Why are you at my feet? I know you know my story. I'm not righteous in this seat. It was my voice that pierced you, my nail that made you scream. And you're the one who's kneeling. You're the one washing me. O Lamb of the great valley. O spotless sacrifice. O blameless love of mercy, O Son of endless light, your ringing rags before me, you're knelt here at my feet. I am the one who cried for them to kill you, and still you're washing me. How can I know this goodness? How can I taste this love? A king who sits below me while I am comfortably above. I've never felt so broken, so poor, so incomplete. You're on the floor before me. You're the one washing me. O Lamb of the great valley. O spotless sacrifice. Blameless love of mercy. O Son of endless light, your ringing rags before me, you're nailed here at my feet. I am the one who cried for them to kill you, and still you're washing me. Here at my feet, I am the one who cried for them to kill you, and still you're washing me.
Very nice indeed.
The screw up was my fault, by the way.
Don't worry about it.
There's no screwing up on this show.
No. Yeah. What screw up? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
We're not talking about anything. That was very nice. Great song. I love it. Let's take a little break. Jill Ford is Nicole. Nick Ford as the author. And we'll be right back. I'll watch with Gary Chapman.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com. Okay.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
And of course, if you're listening and to YouTube, I know it's not a video podcast, but please hit the like and subscribe because that does help us as well. I want to get back to the book for a second.
Sure.
So I want to talk to Nick. really interesting read. I've heard some people compare it to like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Without all the sex and violence, right?
Without the graphic sex and violence.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a really amazing message. And what struck me first as I was reading is the name of the kingdom is called?
Physis.
Physis. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen I had to look it up because I thought, what is that? And explain. There's a reason for it, isn't there?
There is. People ask a lot because even the names of the characters are unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Say.
Every name was chosen very deliberately, both of territories and of characters.
Yeah.
And they're all, the meanings of the names matter. And in this case, Physis is the Greek or Hebrew word, I can't remember, for soul.
For soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's interesting. You know, the first thing I saw when I Googled it was growth, which in a way also applies.
Yeah, for right? sure it does.
There's a part of a bone when you're young that you've got. As you grow, it softens, but as it grows, it hardens and allows your body to grow into your, you know, and your bones to adapt.
Yeah.
So in so many ways, I think that's very apropos too.
It is, indeed. And that was really, if you consider the trilogy as a whole, the primary kind of message is the value of humanity in any expression or form, that just a human and a human soul is so valuable. There's a line in the first book that captures it well, and it's one that kind of the mother figure May says often that other people start to catch up on, and that is that the most valuable human in the world is one with a beating heart inside their chest.
Ooh, that's so good.
Which is just really levels the playing field, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Absolutely.
And that's the idea of physis, is the idea of soul, the idea of growth, the idea of value in humanity, and just taking a breath to remember, like, if there's a beating heart in there, that person is just as valuable as you are.
It's beautiful. And the book is out there. Actually, the first two are.
Mm-hmm.
The Red and...
And The Refuge.
And The Refuge. And I got mine on Kindle. But they're out there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Good. I hope that you will read that book. It's really amazing.
Buy them, read them, review them.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Now, come on. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Gary Chapman is also here with us. Gary, you do some really interesting things I want to talk about. You do a Thursday worship, Facebook Live thing.
Yes.
Thursday. It's pretty. Tell us a little bit about that.
Invite
folks to join.
Yeah, it's just a live stream on Gary Chapman, singer-songwriter, not the author.
Not the author.
There's a Five Languages of Love guy.
Yeah, saw that.
Oh, you'll love this. Some guy, oh, good grief, probably 20 years ago, had the foresight to book us both on the same interview.
Oh, are you kidding?
It was awesome. It was great. He's really funny.
Did you guys do that thing twins do in reverse roles?
Pretty much.
That would have been so
did
fun.
Did you really?
No. No, no, we're quite different.
Quite different, yeah.
But it gave me an opportunity to confess to him because I got so tired of explaining to people that I'm Gary Chapman, the singer-songwriter guy. Yeah. I'm not Gary Chapman, the Five Love Languages guy. And he's found five languages of pretty much everything at this point. It's almost like chicken soup for the love language soul. So there's a lot of books, right?
Chicken soup for the
and there's water. there's a piece of population that thinks I wrote them.
Oh, okay. Well.
So I got tired of explaining it, and I started signing them.
Mm-hmm.
I've signed hundreds of those books.
I think that's
awesome. Just like, hey,
you should get some royalties on.
Glad
that.
You enjoy it. Yeah. No, it was really fun.
That's right.
But yeah, we do this thing on Thursday nights. Uh-huh. We did it on Wednesdays for quite a while. And then just kind of went, wait a minute, there are people that still have church on Wednesday. And then if they don't, their kids have some activity at the church or whatever. So we moved it Thursdays at 8 Central. Mm-hmm. And it's just me and my amazing wife. She runs the chat. And we have
a stunningly beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She is that and never on camera.
Never.
Not for that.
Really?
You can easily find a picture of her and go, ooh, he's not kidding.
Wow.
But yeah. Yeah, she's like, at the end of the day, she's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
She works every day, and she's a farmer. She was a West Virginia farm girl,
and she
works for an organization called Cultivate, C-U-L, the number 2, V-A-T-E, cultivate.org.
Explains your hat. You're wearing that right
it's
now.
It's exactly it. Yeah. And, they grow hundreds of thousands of pounds of food every year on, I think, 5 different pieces of land at this point, and give it away to people that don't have food.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And the people that actually do the work on the farms, some volunteers, but it's mostly people that just got out of rehab and or prison.
Wow.
And they have to commit to a year of work and a year of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And their success rate to fight recidivism is shocking. It's amazing. Their motto, I think it's on the hat. I can't see it. I think it's growing food, growing people. Is that it?
Well executed, Mr. Chapman.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I read my own mind because it's right there on my brain on the cap.
Wow.
No. And that's what they do. That's what they do. So she, during the growing season, she's at work at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, hustling, whatever is in the way, because farming is hard and hot.
Got a song recently that's out there by an artist named Curry Phillips called It Ain't Easy Being Country.
That's the truth.
He talks about that.
It's the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the end of the day, the last thing she wants to do, because she is a girly girl when she wants to be, mm-hmm. is to get on camera. So she's like, no, I'm going to do the chat. You do the yapping.
She does and we'll, the chat. Wow, okay.
And, well, and we talk back and forth a lot.
And you sing on it and you mm-hmm. worship.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Let me just parenthetically note here, because I can't say this. We can't talk about Cassie and not say this, that she is stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the best thing about her is that she is exponentially more beautiful on the inside.
That's true.
Oh,
she
man,
is
love that.
Such an incredible human.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
She is. That's so legit, for real. She's mm-hmm. amazing.
Got to meet her sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about songwriting, Gary, from you, because you're a hit writer as well. I remember I started in country radio in 1980, and about 1982 I was into it, and one of my favorite artists was T.G. Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
And
me
I,
too.
I saw a video of you talking about the importance of the first line mm-hmm. in a song that you wrote.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about first lines. The song Finally...
Yeah.
Has an amazing first line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish my head wouldn't, my mind would not argue with my heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that is a universal truth right
yeah.
there.
Because I wish my mind wouldn't argue with my heart.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And what a beautiful song.
That's a good one.
Finally is the name of the song.
It is.
If you're not familiar, look it up. It's one of T.G.'s best one. You wrote that song.
I did. That song went number one in 1982, the same 82. Week I got married.
Really?
And the song lasted. No, I'm kidding. It's a special tune. TG was always such a, still is, just a good soul, really good dude.
Yeah.
He had an amazing career in radio before he became an artist.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
you
know
think
that.
He didn't know the machine?
He
got on there and nailed it.
Yeah,
he knew how to make it work.
Had some big hits. And he's still singing today.
Absolutely.
So did that pretty much launch your career?
No. First song I got cut went number one, but it was not that song. Huh? It was a song called Father's Eyes.
Father's Eyes.
And that song actually got written. I was on the road at age of 19, maybe I just turned 20, with Dottie Rambo, singing Rambos. I don't know if you know who that is or not.
I don't, but
legendary singer-songwriter. Yeah. She's amazing. She's passed away now. She actually died at the age of 71 in a tour bus accident.
Oh.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly how
she wanted to go. Huh?
No question about it. No,
man.
No.
Wow. She was
Elvis's favorite gospel singer.
Oh, okay.
She sang at his funeral. Yeah.
Very good.
Anyway, yeah, she's an amazing writer. Once you start looking at the songs that she has contributed to the world, you'll go, oh. Mm. But she took me under her wing. I was their pedal steel guitar player.
Really?
And, yep. And I don't know why, but she encouraged me to write songs.
Mm.
And so I started doing it. Until that point, I was just the guy that could finish the dirty rhyme quicker than everybody else in the class.
Mm.
That was it. Mm. I understood just poem and rhyme, and it just kind of fell out of me sometimes.
Mm.
So I started writing songs, or trying to, and we'd be going down the road, you know, headed into the next gig, and I would go up to the front lounge and sit down with my guitar and say, I've got something I'm working on, can you, and I'd play it, and she would, you know, critique, that's good, that's weak, you need to, that second verse, no, start over, bridge is lame, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and more than that, really mentor, really do it.
And learn by doing.
And it was probably, I did that probably 6 months.
Yeah.
And walked up there one day and said, hey, I got something I want you to hear. Like always, played the song. And for the first time, she had nothing to say except, you know what? That's a great song. Wow. You should sing that tonight in the concert.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Because that didn't happen.
Wow.
That did not happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. I did. And I didn't think she meant it, but she called me up, and I got up and did the song, and it was like an immediate, I mean, I call them, there's different kinds of standing ovations I know now. There's the hesitant, you know, your mom starts it, and then somebody feels obligated because they know your mom.
Yeah.
You know, it kind
of. Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's what I call the popcorn. It's just, everybody just, boom, everybody's up. And it was that.
It was popcorn moment.
It was that. And she never asked me to sing again. Truthfully, it's very, very, I don't know if you know the Southern gospel world at all, but
I don't.
The only people maybybe more competitive are bluegrassers, and it may be neck and neck.
I've heard
maybe
that.
Neck and neck. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're serious about it. So that was what made me think I need to, and I quit. I quit and starved for a year or so. And the first song I got cut went number one, and it was that song.
And that was that Father's Eyes?
That was Father's
Eyes. Would it be okay to play? Just can you play a little bit of that?
I have no idea how it goes. I'm kidding. No.
You know, I always stick my foot in my mouth when I ask somebody to play a song, and they go, I haven't played in a million years. I can't. You know, or, I wasn't ready to play that one. So
I haven't played it in a long time, but I know it. Know it! I wrote it!
I wrote it! There you go, verse and a chorus. Just give us a
I time. May not be every mother's dream for her little girl. See, when a woman sang it, Amy had the hit on it. That line was, I may not be the perfect daughter. I wrote it just like that. She didn't change it. Wow. I wrote it, I may not be the perfect son-in-law. Anyway.
Okay.
I may not be every mother's dream for her little girl. My face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world. That's all right, as long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my life, I want to hear them say, he's got his Father's eyes, his Father's eyes.
You know, I remember it now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Very emotional, I could see. What I wanted to ask you is this. You were talking about how great of a mentor you had.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the song. Man, that one ain't working. Work on this again. And now you're passing it on to Jill over there, right? Does it work pretty much the same way?
It's not exactly the same because she's so advanced with her command of the language, and she's got natural skills that she's still unaware of.
Mm.
So I'm just kind of watching as much as anything.
But I imagine occasionally you're pulling it out.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. We definitely have moments. I'm like, what are you talking about? This? Or she, most times she will overwrite. She will write something that I go, okay, it took me a minute, but I know where you're going. Nobody's going to give you that much time. They're not. You got to simplify that.
Yeah.
You got to cut that in half.
I call that the Stephen King syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it back.
I love him, but he does tend to overwrite.
I think that's the, and that's the challenge of writing novels and then writing songs.
It is.
Going right back to that.
You've got 70,000 words. Now you got 30.
That's right.
Get it done.
Less is more. And
absolutely.
I mean, Dottie drilled it into me, and then in short order, I got a really good publishing company. How long you been in town?
11 years.
Okay.
So but I've been coming down since 1980.
So you remember Tree Publishing?
I sure do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I got signed to Tree.
Did you? It was Bobby Braddock in there.
Dude, Bobby Braddock, Sonny Throckmorton.
Sonny Throckmorton.
Curly Putnam, Green Grass at Home, Roger Stinkin' Miller, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I got dropped into that nest of people. And they all took me under their wing. Hmm. And it was...
You were learning from some of the best ever.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. It was amazing.
Mm.
And I'm actually really passionate about doing this. I've recently visited with the CEO of a large publishing company in this town, and with this express purpose of saying, hey, what are you doing?
Mm.
Looks to me like you're finding songwriters at some songwriter night, or somebody plays you a song and you go, that's great. And you give them a deal, maybe a one song deal, maybe a spec deal of some sort or another. And you throw a bunch of those songs against the wall, and every now and then one of them sticks, and you go, hey, now we're going to sign you. And the rest of them stumble around for a decade playing songwriter nights, still hoping it's going to work. You're not teaching them anything. You're not surrounding them with people that know.
Right.
And he, to his giant credit, he said, you're right.
Mm.
Will you help us?
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's on the plate. But it's important. It's really important. When you know, when the songwriting business went away, and we're still all going through the motions, we're all still loving it. I don't know how to stop writing.
Me neither.
It's not what I do anymore. It's who I am.
I'm sure Jill will say the same thing.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
So, but the combination of illegal downloads and the streaming solution, in quotes,
yeah.
You know, the income stream is off. I track it. I know. I had a decades-long revenue stream that is off 98%. That was not flagging at all. It was in fact growing, and it's gone. So the money incentive is not there at this moment. It will come back. It will come back.
You feel it. It will.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Creativity always wins eventually. There are two or three platforms that I'm aware of that are well funded, that are going to launch, that will properly reward the creative community. And when that happens, you will see a giant shift, because people don't even know. But when you stop paying people who are gifted to write songs, turns out the songs that start coming out over time are lame and lifeless and repetitive and derivative. And there's, you know, you can hear it. You can stink and hear it on the radio. There's still great stuff. I'm not the old man saying, get out of my songwriting yard.
No, I agree with that. There's still some good stuff. But
there's some great stuff. But overall, there's no incentive to just sit down and write your heart. Because you got to write a hit.
Yeah.
You got to write something that's going to hit the chorus in 32 seconds and, you know, sear into my brain. And that's not what it's about. It's not. It's about stories. It's about stories.
I agree. It's about stories.
And anyway, I think that's coming back.
At least it's always been in country music.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. Today it seems more beat-oriented to me.
Oh, very, very. Track-driven. It's all track-driven.
And I remember the time when we used to preach, you know, less is more.
Yeah.
You know, say more. But now it seems like less melody, less notes, more words.
Lots more words.
Lots more words.
Way too many words.
Way. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many can I put in a line? And how many licks can I sing over those words?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the state today. But you think you feel it's going to change?
I know it is. I'm seeing it.
Everything is cyclical, right?
I've seen it three times. I'm on my fourth wave at this point.
Really?
Yep.
The fourth wave.
Country music is great. It is great. It's a beautiful, simple, cultural art form that tells millions and millions and millions of people's story, and it resonates.
Yeah.
And it's there. It's alive. It's alive. And then somebody will write a song or sing a song that is, it's just huge. It's just like, it's on fire.
The house that built me.
No, that's a great song. And then the town will start emulating that song.
I hear you. Yeah.
And the quality overall of songwriting goes down. And it kind of stays there because all the rest of that stuff that came from the original achy breaky or whatever the heck it was will make the overall experience will diminish for the listener. And then there'll be another one. And then it'll, you know, it just comes in waves. But that common denominator of great music never left this town. It didn't leave. You can go to any songwriter show in any bar in this town, and I will promise you, there will be five or six tunes that you hear that night. You go, good Lord.
Why isn't that a hit?
Good grief, that's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still there.
Because I do a lot of I go to a lot of those.
You just got to honor those things. Mm-hmm. The people in charge have to honor those things.
Yeah.
And it's a duty. I see it as that. And if it's purely money driven, then change your model to reward the beauty. Do it. Because you care.
Yeah. A songwriter, no, I'm not going to mention names, and I'm going to mention the song, but there's a song that was floating around the Ruddiest Rounds and getting rave reviews.
Oh, I know that song.
Everybody. One of those songs. You would know that song. And a huge publisher said, man, you know, it's a Bluebird song. I don't think it could have been a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, you wrote a Bluebird song.
Mm-hmm.
That became a huge, huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't know. We'll see. But you know what I do know? I know I want to hear another Jill Gary compilation.
Come on. Sound of Falling.
I love that. Oh, I love that song.
Sound of Falling. I'm already intrigued.
Sound of Falling Rain.
Falling Rain. Came from... came from another day on the Happy Hill.
Yeah.
That's your place to write it.
Yeah. And, what do you want to say, Gary?
I think this song starts with, when I sing it live, it starts with a question. Are you waiting for anything? Are you? The answer for every breathing human that I have encountered so far on your planet is yes, I am. And the follow-up is, do you believe that God cares? Mm. Interesting. I catch the sound of falling rain. I hold it in my hand. Stand on that cliff and pray again and again and again. Never mind the waiting, I know that day will come. I'll be singing in a torrent, hands lifted high in the flood. And the sound of falling rain never felt so good. The doubters said you wouldn't, but I knew you would. You're faithful through the drought, till the clouds are dreamed. I'll be dancing in the downpour to the sound of falling rain. Listen to the drip, drip. One drop, then another. Cool breeze chasing the beat away with the sound of distant thunder. The thrilling sound of falling rain is coming ever near. As I stand and watch the darkening sky, your faithfulness is clear. And the sound of falling rain never felt so good. The doubters said you wouldn't, but I knew. You're faithful through the drought, till the clouds are drained. I'll be dancing in the downpour to the sound of falling rain. Faithful through the drought, until the clouds are drained. I'll be dancing in the downpour to the sound of falling rain. I'll be dancing in the downpour to the sound.
whole lot of pollen came into this room, and our eyes are all, you know, it's allergies.
Gets me every time,
me
Dave.
Me too. That is a beautiful, beautiful song.
That's a good tune.
Gary, I have to think one of your strengths is melody writing. Your melodies are just amazing.
Well, you're kind. I appreciate that.
Man. And you're a good guitar player, too. You know, the walk-ups and the walk-downs in that song. Everything's just precious.
I put too many chords in everything. But
no, I love that.
That's okay.
Are you going to bless us with a new recording sometime soon?
I am.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Tell us what's happening.
That same publisher guy, turns out he runs a record label. And I played him some of the stuff I've been working on. And it's a lot of the stuff with Jill. That whole thing of a song coming quickly and you knowing that it's not you, like I said, that happened to me early in life. As nearly as I can tell, every couple of years. And the thing, when Jill and I started writing, it is really what triggered it. And it happens all the time. Mm. I wake up in the middle of the night and I grab my phone and I speak a complete lyric into it.
Wow.
And I wake up the next morning and play it.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
What a gift.
I know it's God, and I know it's important. It's what gives me hope, not only for songwriters everywhere, for the world. And you don't have to agree with me on this. Nobody does. But I believe that God is going to give this planet one more chance to accept the gift of his son. And when he decides to pull the trigger, whatever the trigger is, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't. I know it's going to be so huge and so unmistakably him that every Christian and every Muslim and every Hindu and every Buddhist and every black, white, yellow, green, purple person, every breathing human.
Everyone with a heartbeat.
Thank you. Right. Yes, yeah. That's it. Are going to look at each other and without question say, that was God. Okay, when you acknowledge that he's real, when you acknowledge that he is in the room with you, when he's here, you have to make a choice. You do. You have to go, well, I'm with him or I'm not. And that simple equation is going to turn into something so big that I put it this way every time I say this, and it's just true. We got to think up another word. Maybe you'll have one, Jill. You're good at it.
She's a good word.
Because revival is not big enough, dude.
Not big enough. Wow.
No. It's overwhelming. I'm serious, man. I see stadiums full of people dying to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be up to my eyeballs in it. And I think good. Some of these songs are pivotal. For that experience. I do.
Well, I have to believe that too. And Gary, what I love about you is you have a gift and you know it comes from God, and you're never shy about sharing that. You know that it was given to you to share.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you pass it on to people like Jill. And why don't you take us out with one more? And I thank you so much for being
on
the show and for being a part of this.
I wrote this. Did you ever know Randall Clay?
I never did, no.
Amazing man.
Another amazing man.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, if I got to say who's the best, there's a short list. He's on it, definitely. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable gift. He and Terry Joe Box and I wrote this song.
I know Terry Joe. Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, there seems to be some degree of division in our culture, in our society, in the world. Have you noticed it?
I got a song about it, too.
I see it.
Oh, yeah. Dave played that the other night. I loved that.
Great Divide,
The Great Divide. That was fantastic.
Great title for it.
Thank you. That was a great song.
Thank you.
Now I feel like I have to really do this one very well.
I'm sure this blows it away.
No, I doubt positive. That. I doubt that. You might be flannel, camel, white linen and lace, denim, leather, designer suede. You could be cotton, satin, faded hand-me-downs, Crazy as it sounds, we're all made the same way. It might be hard to tell. We're all made to make up something bigger than ourselves. Whether you're torn and tattered or barely worn at all, we're all cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
We're all cut from the same cloth. When you feel patched up, barely hanging on by a thread, run through the ringer a little more than you should have. When you're hung out to dry out there all alone, you're not the only one, 'cause we're all made the same way. It might be hard to tell. We're all made to make up something bigger than ourselves. Whether you're torn and tattered or barely worn at all, we're all cut from the same cloth. If we're all made in His image, shouldn't we all be more like Him? 'Cause we're all made the same way. It might be hard to tell. We're all made to make up something bigger than ourselves. Whether you're torn and tattered or barely worn at all, we're all cut from the same cloth. We're all cut from the same cloth. We're all cut from the same cloth.
Man, the world needs a lot more songs like this.
Don't you agree, Jim?
Yeah.
Man. Incomparable. Gary Chapman, thank you so much for coming and being on this show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Awesome. Thanks. To meet you. Jill, all the best with your books. Your novels are amazing.
Many thanks.
I can't wait for the third one to come out.
Me either.
Any idea? When?
2025 sometime.
In God's time,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for coming, too.
Thanks for having me.
Keep writing, folks.
Amen. Thanks, buddy.
Come on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening. Keep creating and keep the melodies alive.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.